Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, we're in the book of Revelation as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
Again, I have a note. I think I mentioned this last week. If Satan reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. And also, let me say that if God can do this, and he is going to do this, if he's able to do this, think of what God could do with your problems. All the things we're struggling with daily. To God, they're nothing. To us, they're major. Don't get me wrong. I mean, to us who may not even can overcome it, with God, all things are possible. We see the ultimate power of God here, where Satan is cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. And then I left this thought, and then we'll move on. Could it be, again, it's just a thought, I wouldn't argue with anybody about this, but could it be, it does not say who threw Satan into the lake of fire. Most people think it's probably Jesus Christ, and I wouldn't argue with that. But over the last couple of years of Bible study and all, the thoughts coming into my mind, could it possibly be Adam? Adam was the first creation of God, of man, and because of Adam, sin came into the world. And wouldn't it be just kind of, there you go, who said poetic justice? I need to write that down in my Bible. Poetic justice, that God in his sovereignty would allow Adam, who started this all, by Adam, sin came into the world, death, but wouldn't it be poetic justice if Adam was the one who kind of throwed him in there? He would have the God. If God allowed it, hey, it wouldn't surprise me a bit. I'm convinced it would either be Jesus or Adam, the first man Adam or the second man Adam, one of the two. And I just think it'd be awesome to see Adam, who was responsible for all this, to finally throw him in there. And I think I ended my lesson last week with this. We say this when I used to go to football games, and the team is losing at the end of the game, we would say, na 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 na, na 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 na, hey, goodbye. I could see us in heaven when Satan, now maybe not those kind of things, but something like that. There's going to be a lot of joy and shouting in heaven. We're going to see this take place. Verse number 10, he'd be cast in the lake of fire. But that's not the end of the story. Look in verse number 11. We'll read through verse 15. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Now, before we go any farther, these are all unbelievers. The believers have already stood at the judgment seat of Christ. These are all unbelievers from the time of Cain, or whoever was the first one, just for the thought of it, Cain, to the last unbeliever who has ever died. They're all going to stand before Jesus Christ, and we'll look at that in just a minute. But so you know, these are not unbelievers. These are not believers. These are all unbelievers. And by the way, this does not determine if a person is going to heaven. That has already been determined, their eternal destiny. What this is going to determine is the punishment that the Christ rejecter will experience for eternity. Now, I'll get a little bit farther in our study with this. There are some, let me put it this way, it's going to be a lot hotter for some in the lake of fire than for others. In other words, wherever how God does that, for those who've heard the gospel over and over and over and rejected Jesus Christ, it's going to be a lot hotter for them than somebody who's never heard the gospel. Are you following? We'll look at that in a little bit. But it's not determining whether they're going to heaven or not here at the Great White Throne Judgment. That's already been sealed. Their fate has been sealed. Okay. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books, plural, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Oftentimes you hear the worst thing that happens, somebody is going to hell. No, no, no. The worst thing that ever happened to somebody is going to the lake of fire. Hell is just a temporary, and I know preachers get up here and preach, and we have that artistic expression sometimes about going to hell, spend eternity in hell forever and ever. That's not, it's good preaching, just ain't so. Hell will be, hell, we read here, hell will be delivered up the dead, the unbelievers, and they stand before Jesus, and they're going to be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. Hell is a temporary place, temporary holding place for the doomed and the damned. It's just temporary until this takes place. Then they are cast permanently into the lake of fire. Let me show you, first of all, we look in verse number 11, the place of the great white throne judgment. I heard a song the other day. I love the song about we're all standing around the great white throne and oh, how we're judged. Listen, that song about the great white throne is not for believers, for unbelievers. By the way, you do not get your theology out of songs. There are a lot of songs out there that they sure sound good and they'll tap your feet and make your heart feel good, but you get your theology out of God's Word, okay? Not disparaging any song. I love music. Let me give you another one that just pops in my mind. Talking about the millennial reign of Christ. Every Christmas we sing joy to the world. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. The guy who wrote that was not talking about the birth of Christ. He was talking about the millennial reign of Christ. But yet we've adopted that into the Christmas, and nothing, we're going to sing it. I go around singing Christmas carols, and because it's accepted as a Christmas carol, we sing joy to the world, the Lord has come. But it's meant to be a song about the second coming of the Lord and not when he came as a baby. Are you following? That we kind of form our theology around. Here's another one. You have to be careful. And Brandon, he's a preacher, and Paul, and you other preachers who are in here. Wally never has this problem because Wally is a smart guy. Okay, but oftentimes we mention the church, and we gloop, and even songs about the church and all. Well, it sure sounds good, but there. Let me just put it this way. There's no such thing as a universal, invisible, mystical body of believers called the church. They're all independent churches. All each Westwood is the church of the living God. Brandon has a church in Utah, one of the few Baptist churches. He's in Mormon country, okay? The church that he pastors is that body of Christ in that geographical location. So I'm just saying, be careful how we say the church. We hear it all the time in songs, you know, the church is going to be raptured. Nowhere in Scripture that it talks about the church being raptured. Believers are raptured, okay? So just a little thought there, tidbit of information that I doubt you'll see that on Jeopardy or any kind of, what's those game shows, you know, that you see. You'll never see that, but just so you'll know, okay? Again, when you hear those songs, man, shout and praise the Lord, but understand, y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay, let's move on. We see the place of the great white throne judgment, and it's somewhere, I don't know, between earth and here, because we see that the great white throne said on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them, nowhere they could hide. You ever heard the saying, you can run, but you can't hide? Not going to hide from Jesus, okay? In John chapter 14, you know, if we have a funeral here for me, if we do, I'm not looking to die. I'm looking for the uppertaker, not the undertaker. But if I was to die, okay, if I don't live, I'm looking to be at least 100 years old. I am. God's going to give me a long life. Anyway, if he doesn't come, I'm sure this passage of Scripture will be read at my funeral. It's one of my favorite passages, John 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Now I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. But what I want you to notice, that we have a place, a literal place in heaven that's reserved. And one day we're going to read next week about that coming down from heaven, that bride, that new Jerusalem that is being prepared. There's a whole other lesson there. But anyway, the thought is we have a place.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier, of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious Word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.